Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere MQ and SSL working with tools to manage digital keys and certificates. Today's presenter is Belinda Fuller. Belinda has been working within the Level 2 MQ Distributed Support Organization since early 2010. In this role, she has become known as a subject matter expert in the area of SSL. Prior to that, she has held various support and other roles within the Tivoli organization over the past 14 years, primarily in the Level 2 Maximo Integration Support Team. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Belinda.
Thank you, Joseph, and good morning, everyone. Today, we will be looking at the tools used on both the Unix and the HP nonstop system to manage keys and certificates, as well as provide some examples of how we can use these tools. Next slide, please, Joseph. I will be discussing how WMQ on Unix and HP nonstop systems store certificates and the tools used to manage them. We will be looking at the difference between self-signed and CA-signed certificates. We will be creating self-signed certificates as well as certificate requests, which will be signed and received. I will be talking about moving keys from one key store to another using export and import functions, as well as techniques we can use to change certificate labels. Lastly, we will be discussing some techniques we can use to verify certificates. Slide 3, please, Joseph. On distributed Unix Windows systems, MQ uses four files that must all be located in the same directory for the queue manager to access. Additionally, the permissions must be such that the queue manager, user, and group has permissions to those files. The first file in the key is the key.kdb. Note the extension is KDB. This is the key store file. It contains all the certificates, signers, and personal, as well as the private key. The key store is in a CMS format and is the required format for MQ on distributed systems. The key.rdb file is a certificate request database. This file holds the certificate request and information before the signed certificate is received into the key store. During the receive process, the request is matched to the signed certificate, and if the process is successful, the certificate request is removed. When that happens, the RDB file will be empty. The key.sch file is the password stash file, which contains the encrypted password to gain access to the key store file. The queue manager needs this file to access the password-protected key store at runtime so that it can validate remote certificates and retrieve its own certificate to send to remote servers when necessary. The key.crl file is a file that contains a list of certificate revocation lists that can be used to verify that a certificate has not been revoked by its signing authority. This file is not required for SSL functionality and requires additional configuration that is not covered during this presentation. Slide 4, please, Joseph. We tell the queue manager where its key store file is located by setting the path and the key file name, omitting the KDB extension, which is very important, in the SSL key R attribute of the queue manager object. On Unix systems, the path is case-sensitive, so it is important to ensure that the path is entered using the correct case. The key store file name can be changed to a name that suits our needs, such as using the queue manager name for the key store file name. In the example shown here, the queue manager name is QMA, and the key store file name is key.kdb. The extension KDB has been omitted from the file name in the example, as mentioned earlier. If it is included, the search for the key store would fail because the extension is already assumed to be a KDB by the queue manager and is appended to the end of the SSL KR string. Slide 5, please, Joseph. GSKit commands are used in distributed systems to manage key stores and certificates. GSKit libraries are used by MQ to support SSL on these platforms. There are both C and Java versions of the GSKit commands included. However, syntax for both are virtually the same. GUI versions are also available, but can be limited, as in one example, some do not provide the mechanism for adding a basic constraint to a certificate. GSKit can be used to manage several types of key stores. However, it cannot import a private key from a Base64 encoded file. We'll talk more about that one later. Slide 6, please, Joseph. HP Nonstop, on the other hand, uses four files as well to hold the private keys, personal and trusted CA certificates, and the password for the private key. However, a slightly different format and different functionality. The cert.tem file holds the private key, which is encrypted and password protected as well as the personal certificate. TEM format is a Base64 encoded data encapsulated in headers, such as begin certificate and end certificate. We'll see more of that later when we show how these certificates look. The trust.tem holds all trusted signer certificates, so therefore all CA certificates. The stash.sch file is the passphrase stash file needed by the queue manager at runtime to access the private key and personal certificates. The crl.tem, similar to distributed systems, is a list of certificate revocation lists we specify if we have CRL servers in our environment that are needed to validate internally issued certificates. Slide 7, please, Joseph. The SSL key repository attribute of the queue manager specifies the location of the key store files on an HP Nonstop system. It includes a path only, so no file names are included. The name of the key store, therefore, must be cert.tem. It cannot be changed because it is not referenced in MQ configuration. The cert.tem, trust.tem, and stash.sth must exist in the directory specified here for proper functionality. The crl.tem file is not required and does not affect the queue manager if it's not present. Slide 8, please, Joseph. MQ on HP Nonstop provides modified versions of the OpenSSL library and the command to use for administration. The modified version of the OpenSSL command must be used for administration due to its added functionality that is not present in the standard OpenSSL installations. One example is that it is not possible to create a stash STH file using the standard OpenSSL command, and this file is required for the MQ to be able to access the encrypted private key. OpenSSL is a widely used product and supports many key store formats, including PEM, but it does not support CMS. Slide 9, please, Joseph. So what are self-signed certificates? These are certificates that have been signed by themselves. You can see this because the subject and the issuer distinguished names are identical. Additionally, the subject key identifier and the issuer key identifier are identical as well. And this is used by the queue manager to validate the certificate. A self-signed certificate can be created using most SSL tools in seconds and is supported by most SSL-enabled software or middleware, but not necessarily all. It does not require a certificate request to be signed by certificate authority, so that is an advantage. However, when a self-signed certificate is used as a personal certificate for a queue manager, it's usually for testing purposes only because it's not known by external clients. Therefore, it's not trusted until they specifically install them into the client's key stores. Slide 10, please, Joseph. There are many benefits to CA-signed certificates, including insurance and guarantees made by certificate authorities against data loss or unauthorized access. So what are the main differences between these and self-signed certificates? For a CA-signed certificate, the subject and the issuer distinguished names are distinct from one another. The subject key identifier of the CA certificate matches the issuer key identifier specified on the personal certificate. The queue manager uses this value to determine the validity of the chain. It requires a certificate request to be generated and sent to a certificate authority, signed and returned, then added to the key store, often involving a fee for the certificate ranging in price. When used as a personal certificate for a queue manager, it is usually in a production environment where security requirements are higher. Certificates issued by a certificate authority are trusted and provide security assurances over self-signed certificates such as externally available CRL servers or enforcing stronger cipher spec requirements during SSL handshaking. Slide 11, please, Joseph. In this example, I created two key stores. One called key self-signed.kdb, which we will be using to create a self-signed certificate, and another key store called key personal cert.kdb, which will be used to create a certificate request and receive the signed certificate. The self-signed certificate will also be used as a certificate authority signer in later examples to sign the certificate request that we're creating for the queue manager's key store. The second key store will be used as the queue manager's key store and will contain the final signed certificate. Here's the command we used to create the key self-signed key store. GSK7CAPICMD dash keydb dash create dash db key self signed dot kdb dash pw 1234 dash type cms stash. The same command was repeated for the second key store. In the examples, what we did here is we set the password for each key store to 1234. We specified the type of the key store to be CMS, and we instructed the password to be stashed in a file, therefore the stash keyword at the end of the line. Clearly, we can see from the example that we used the KDB, which is to create a new key store, and specified with the DB parameter the name of the database to create. The next command creates a self-signed certificate using the same parameters. Next, we create a self-signed certificate in the key self-signed KDB key store. And this command that we're about to run will enable the certificate as a signer in order to allow it to be used to sign an other certificate. The resulting certificate is our certificate authority signer. The command looks like GSK7CAPICMD-cert-create dash db, the name of the database, dash pw, 1234. The label, which we are going to give this particular signer, which is my signer, dash dn, which is the distinguished name attributes enclosed in double quotes, the size of the key, which will be 1024, the length of time before it expires, which is 999 days, and we've enabled it as a CA certificate, so we set the CA flag to true. Some implementations of SSL will not allow a signer certificate to act as a signer unless that critical basic constraint is set to true, and that's where the dash CA true is being referred to. If that's missing, some JSEE implementations will not validate a certificate claiming that the certificate is acting as a certificate authority but is not authorized to be one. Slide 12, please, Joseph. In the previous example, we set the label to my signer. If we wanted to use this certificate as a personal certificate representing a queue manager, the label specified would have to conform to the required format shown, which is IBM WebSphere MQ, and then the queue manager name, QM name, represented by queue manager name, all in lowercase. So we will replace QM name with the actual queue manager name in lowercase. We will use the following command to view the details of the certificate we just created above. The command is gsk7capicmd-cert-details-label, and that's the label of the certificate we want to view, and the name of the database and the password. The details parameter requires the label parameter and a valid label name to be passed as well. In the output, we can see that the issuer and subject names are identical. They both say my self-signed signer certificate. Slide 13, please, Joseph. Previously, I created the key personal cert KDB key store file, which I will be used by the queue manager. This is the key store that will be used by the queue manager. So when I create the certificate request, I will ensure that the label conforms to the requirements of the queue manager. So in this command, we entered it in this format, gsk7capicmd-certrec-create-db, the name of the DB, -pw, the password, -label, and we gave it the label here because my queue manager name here is MyQMGR. So the label is IBM WebSphere MQ MyQMGR. And then the distinguished name is encapsulated in double quotes. The size is 1024. And the file that we want to write this request to is personalcertrex.arm. This results in a file called personalcertrec.arm whose contents will look similar to the output shown in the slide. This is how a PEM formatted file looks with Base64 encoding data between the tags. In the above example, we created a certificate request, and since this will be a personal certificate representing a queue manager, the label was set to IBM WebSphere MQ MyQMGR. Slide 14, please, Joseph. Now we have to have this certificate request signed. Earlier, when we created the self-signed certificate for the purpose of using as a certificate authority signer for our examples, we were able to use that now as a signer. The next command was used to sign the certificate. This command is gsk7capicmd-cert-sign-db, and this is the name of the database where the self-signed signer is, the password for that database, and the label of that certificate to use to sign. Next parameters are the target, so the target certificate to create, the file name to create, which is signed personalcert.cert. The format will be in ASCII, and the expiry will be in 365 days, and the file name to sign is called personalcertrec.arm. In this example, we use the parameters -cert-sign. That is what's used in order to sign certificate requests. When we look at the resulting signed certificate file, it looks like the output seen in slide 14. The PEM tags indicate this is a certificate. We can see that from the begin certificate and end certificate tags. Next slide, 15, please, Joseph. We can see from the following command that we have an outstanding certificate request in the key store. By running the following command, we can see if there are any outstanding. In this case, we specifically looked for the label we know we created. The command was gsk7capicmd-certrec-details-label IBM WebSphere MQ MyQMGR-db, the name of the DB that should have the certificate, which is keypersonalcert.kdb-pw1234. The output of this command shows that there is an outstanding certificate request returned by that result. We will need to receive the certificate that was signed previously into the key store, but first we must make sure that the CA certificate that was signed, that signed the personal certificate, is first in the key manager's key store. Otherwise, we won't be able to do the receive function. Slide 16, please, Joseph. In order to get the certificate out of the database, we want to do an extract. We can extract certificates using this command. GSK7CAPICMD-certs-extract-DB, which is the name of the self-signed DB, the password 1234, the name of the label, which is my signer, and the target file name, which will be signer.cer, and the format as ASCII. This actually creates format ASCII, creates a PEM file. This command results in a file called signer.cer, indicated by the dash target parameter in the extract command. Using the add parameter, we can add this certificate to the key personal cert KDB key store using this command. GSK7CAPICMD-cert-add-db key personal cert.kdb-pw1234-label my signer, keeping in mind that the signer is not important as far as the label for signers. The file that we're going to be importing from is the signer.cer. The format of the file we're importing is an ASCII, and we want to enable trust. We want to make sure that this certificate is trusted. This command results in the signer being added to the key store, specifies that the label will be my signer, and sets the trust flag on. Now that the prerequisite signer certificate has been added, we can receive the signed certificate into the personal cert KDB key store. Line 17, please, Joseph. We use the -cert-receive parameters to receive the signed personal certificate shown in this command. GSK7CAPICMD-cert-receive-file, the name of the file, which is assigned personal cert.cer, the name of the database we want to receive it into, which is the key personal cert.kdb-pw1234, and the format of the file we're importing, which is ASCII or PEM. If the receive function is successful, we will see the following message when we try to view the associated certificate requests. Running the command again to view the label of the outstanding certificate request, previously we were able to see a record returned. Now we see the result as no request key was found. We can also look at a list of all certificates in the key store. We can use the next command to view a list of all certificates in the key store. However, unfortunately, this command and its results did not make it into the slides in time for the presentation and will be corrected at a later time. The command is GSK7CAPICMD-cert-list-all-db-key-personal-cert.kdb-pw1234. The result of this command is a list of certificate labels is produced, and each certificate has an indicator indicating its trust status, whether or not there is a private key associated with it, and if it has been designated as the default certificate in the key store. Slide 18, please, Joseph. However, we can also look specifically for the certificate based on the label we used when we created the certificate request. The command is GSK7CAPICMD-cert-details-label So the name of the label is IBM Webster MQ MyQMGR dash DB, the name of the DB key, personal cert.kdb, dash PW1234. Notice in the output that the issuer is myself signed signer certificate, and the subject is my personal certificate. So by looking for the certificate, we know that it is in there. Slide 19, please, Joseph. In the next slide, we used OpenSSL to create a certificate request and key file for use by a queue manager running on an HP nonstop system. The command to create the request and key file is OpenSSL space req space dash new key space RSA colon 1024 space dash SHA1 space dash key out space myqmgr underscore key dot pem dash out myqmgr dot underscore rec dot pem. So to try to explain what this command has done is the parameters new key indicate a new key is being generated and uses RSA encryption algorithm with a key size of 1024 bits and using the secure hash algorithm, which is SHA1. The command interactively prompts for an additional information related to the distinguished name and the passphrase to use to encrypt the private key. We also pass the names of the files we'll use, one for the key and one for the request. We can also add a CNF parameter if we wanted to, rather than specifying the information when we're prompted by the command. And this CNF file would contain your distinguished name attributes such as CN, OU, O, etc. In this case, as mentioned, the result is two PEM files. One is the encrypted private key, and the other is the certificate request that is to be sent to a certificate authority for signing. Each can be distinguished by the names after my queue manager. Slide 20, please, Joseph. Using any text editor, we can open the file myqmgr underscore key.pem and see that it is a base64 encoded PEM formatted file. The tags begin RSA private key and end RSA private key indicate this is a private key and it is encrypted. Next slide, please. 21, Joseph. Using a text editor, we can open the file myqmgr underscore req.pem and see that it is a base64 encoded PEM formatted file as well. The tags begin certificate request and end certificate request indicate this is a certificate request which can be signed by a certificate authority. Slide 22, please, Joseph. Once the signed certificate has been received from the certificate authority, if it was received in a PEM format, we can view the file using a text editor, and it will look similar to this one. The tags begin certificate and end certificate indicate this is a certificate. Slide 23, please, Joseph. Now that we have all of that information, we can build a certificate store file that will be used by a queue manager running on an HP nonstop system. This is the cert.pem file mentioned previously during the presentation. Using a text editor, I created a new file called cert.pem by concatenating the signed personal certificate and the private key in that order. This is the cert.pem created from the contents of the files created previously containing the signed personal certificate and the private key. The slide shows how the cert.pem should look after the certificate and key are concatenated. Slide 24, please, Joseph. The next step is to recreate the trust.pem. All signer certificates for both the personal and any remote certificates will go into this file. The order here is not important. Each set of begin certificate and end certificate tags represents one certificate, and there may be several different signers we will have to add. In this example, we had only one signer and one personal certificate. In the slide, you can see this is our current trust.pem. Slide 25, please, Joseph. The queue manager requires the passphrase to be stored in a file called stash.sth, exactly in that case and spelling. Previously, it was mentioned that this file can only be generated on HP Nonstop systems running the modified version of the OpenSSL command. This is included with the MQ product. This is because the standard version of OpenSSL does not have the functionality to create a passphrase stash file. To run the command, we need the signed certificate, which is in myqmgr.pem for this example. We need the private key, which is myqmgr_key.pem, and we need the signer PEM. We can use the trust.pem we created since it contains only the signer we need, which is identical to the signer PEM. Although the command results in a new PKCS12 key store file being created, this file is not needed. The purpose of the command is only to create the passphrase stash file. This is the command. OpenSSL PKCS12-export-in, the name of the certificate, -inkey, the name of the key, -out, the name of the P12 database file you will be creating, the password that you want to pass for the private key is 1234. The password for the P12 file will also be 1234. And the chain will also be included in what is exported by passing -chain. And the -ca file says where the chain certificate is, and that is in the trust.pem. After this command is run, the stash.sch file is present. Now all the files can be placed in the directory specified by the SSL key repository attribute of the queue manager object and the entropy daemon started. Slide 26, please, Joseph. Sometimes private keys and certificates are generated and requested outside of the control of the MQ administrator using other external tools. Because of this, we might not have used the key store to request the certificate and may receive both the private key and the signed certificate in a PKCS12 file. This file will commonly have a P12 or PFSX extension. We can use the gskit command to perform an import of the private key from the P12 file to the KEB file. Here is an example. GSK7CMD-cert-import-db, the name of the DB, which is the P12 file, the target, which is the name of the file you want these certificates to be imported to, which is key.kdb, and the target PW1234. If we need these certificates for an HP Nonstop queue manager, the private key and all certificates will first need to be exported to PEM format. Here's an example of what we would do to accomplish that. We would run the command OpenSSL PKCS12-in, the name of the P12 file, and -out, the name of the PEM file. All keys and certificates that were in the PKCS12 file will be written in PEM format to the mykeyandcert.pem file. We can copy and paste the certificate and private key entries in the cert.pem and trust.pem files as described earlier in this presentation from the mykeyandcert.pem. Slide 27, please, Joseph. There may be a need to move certificates from a Unix environment to an HP NS and Nonstop system. Since GSKit does not have the functionality to export private keys to PEM format, what are the necessary steps? We can first use GSKit to export the private key and all certificates from the CMS Key Store to a PKCS12 Key Store. Then, we can use OpenSSL to export the keys and certificates to a PEM file as demonstrated previously. Here are the commands. Here is the command to export the keys and certificates to a PKCS12 store using GSKit. GSK7CAPICMD-cert-export-db. This is the source DB, which is key.kdb. Target is the destination, which is the P12 file, mykeyandcerts.p12. Now using OpenSSL, export the keys and certificates again using this command. OpenSSL PKCS12-in mykeyandcerts.p12-out mykeyandcerts.pem. As in the previous slides, we can use the mykeyandcerts.pem to build the cert.pem and trust.pem files. Slide 28, please, Joseph. Now, in another scenario, we want to use an existing private key and certificate from an HP nonstop system. How can we import the private key into the CMS key store needed by Unix systems? Since we can't use GSKit to import directly from the cert.pem file, we will have to first export the keys and certificates to PKCS12 key store file. Then we can use GSKit to import the keys and certificates from the PKCS12 key store. Here is what the OpenSSL command would look like. OpenSSL PKCS12-export-in-cert.pem-in-key-cert.pem-cert-file-trust.pem-out-key-and-cert.p12. So in this case, we are getting everything out of the cert and the trust.pem that's needed into a P12 file that GSKit can now read. On the Unix system, we can import the keys and certificates from this file using this command. GSK7CAPI command-cert-import-db-keys-and-cert.p12-target-key.kdb-target-pw-1234. This will result in proper import of the private key and the certificate from the P12 file to the key.kdb file. Slide 29, please, Joseph. During the creation of the certificate request, we must provide a label for the certificate. This label is required by the queue manager to conform to specific syntax. If the label is incorrect, can it be changed? The answer to that question is no. You cannot modify a certificate label directly, but we can use GSKit to change a label of an existing certificate by using export and import functions. We would first export the key and certificate containing the incorrect label to a separate key store. This can be a PKCS12 or a CMS key store. Using this command, the certificate is exported to another CMS database called key2.kdb. The command is gsk7capi command-cert-export-db-key.kdb-label-ibm-websphere-wrong-lbl-target-key2.kdb-target-pw-1234. This command will basically take the certificate and the key and export it to a key2.kdb database where the label matches IBM WebSphere MQ wrong label. Although it isn't mentioned here in the slide, we must first delete the original certificate and private key from the key.kdb key store so that we can import it again from the second key store and correct the label. The command to delete is gsk7capicmd-cert-delete-db, the name of the database, key.kdb-pw-1234, and -label IBM Webster NQ Long LBL. Once we have removed the old certificate, we can re-import it again from the second database back into this first database with the correct label. Here is the command that we would use now to do that. gfk7cap-icmd-cert-import-db-key2.kdb-target-key.kdb-target-pw-1234-new-label-ibm-webster-mq-my-2mgr. The result is we now have a properly labeled certificate in the key store that matches the requirements for MQ and the key manager name, all in lowercase. Slide 30, please, Joseph. We can use OpenSSL on any platform where it is installed to view details about a certificate request. Here we can see an example of how we can run this command to view the details of our certificate request. The file name is myqmgr_req.pem. The command is openssl space req space dash verify space dash verbose space dash text space dash in space myqmanagerrec.pem. With this command, we can verify, we are verifying the requisition and we are outputting the results of this requisition to the screen in text format. And we are providing it the name of the file, which is myqmgr_rec.pem. Here we can see the full subject and the key size details as well as the algorithms being used. Slide 31, please, Joseph. A common problem that occurs is a mismatch between the private key and the signed certificate modulus. This leads to errors when trying to receive certificates using GSKit or errors when channels start in an HP environment. This can happen, for example, if the private key was deleted and recreated, but the certificate was requested using the original key. If this happens, it usually means that the original key is gone, and this means that the signed certificate cannot be used. The certificate request must be recreated using the new private key and signed by the certificate authority again. So how do we check? We can run the following two commands, and the results must produce the same MD5 checksum results. This is the command. OpenSSL space RSA dash no out dash modulus dash in the private key file, which is myqmgr_key.pem, and then we pipe it through OpenSSL space MD5. This creates an MD5 hash, and the results can be seen below the command, which is a very long string. The second command will perform the same thing against the actual signed certificate. The command differs in that it's not using the RSA, it's using X509. So the command is OpenSSL space X509 dash no out dash modulus dash in myqmanagersigncert.pem, piping it through OpenSSL and creating an MD5 hash. The results need to be identical, so by comparing the two resulting outputs, we can determine if they are the same. If the previous two outputs are not the same, the private key and the certificate do not belong to each other, and we will have to figure out which one is wrong. As you can see in the example on the screen, they do all match, so we're in good shape there. But if they're wrong, how would you proceed in diagnosing the problem? The other thing we can check now is the certificate request modulus. That will help us find which is wrong. We can see if it matches the private key or if it matches the certificate. We can use this command to perform that function. OpenSSL space req dash no out /modulus-in myqmtr_req.pem. Pipe it through OpenSSL, creating an MD5 hash. If we look at the output in our example, we see that they're all identical, so we know the request, the certificate, and the key all belong to each other. However, if that were not the case and the private key and the certificate did not match, how do we proceed in figuring out which is which? If the REC output hash matches the private key modulus but not the certificate, the wrong certificate request must have been sent to the certificate authority. We need to resend the correct certificate request to the certificate authority. However, if it matches the certificate modulus but does not match the private key modulus, a new certificate request will need to be generated from the private key and sent to the certificate authority for signing. And if they all have the same modulus, the certificate, the key, and the request must match each other correctly as they should. Slide 32, please, Joseph. In this presentation, we discussed how the queue managers in both Unix and HP nonstop system platforms use SSL, use their key stores. We also discussed the tools used to manage key stores and certificates in both of these platforms, as well as how to verify our key stores and certificate information. After this presentation, you should be able to describe how MQ on Unix and HP systems store keys and certificates. Describe the tools used on Unix and HP nonstop to manage keys, stores, and certificates. Describe the main differences between self-signed and certificate authority signed certificates. Use GSKit to create and manage keys and certificates. Use OpenSSL to create and manage keys and certificates. Describe the steps necessary to convert a private key and certificate from CMS format to PKCS12 or PEM and back again. Describe the steps necessary to change a label of a certificate in a CMS key store. Use OpenSSL to view details about the certificate request. Use OpenSSL to verify the modulus of keys and certificates. At this time, I will now pass the call back over to Joseph Lam, before we move on to the question period.
Thank you, Belinda, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Our first question comes from Srikant Mari. Your line is open.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for the presentation. And,
hi, Srikant.
Hi. Thank you for the presentation.
You're welcome.
And the question is, I have used self-signed certificates and I have set up the channels between two queue managers to use the SSL certificates.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I actually verify whether the data encryption is actually taking place?
When you look at your channel status, if the channel is in a running state, you will be able to see the SSL peer value on the receiver side showing what certificate it's using for that connection, and that will proof that it is using a secure connection at that time and using a certificate.
On SSL peer value on the sending side or the receiving side?
On the receiving side.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Muruddin Vamos. Your line is open.
Yes. The question I'm trying to ask is how much performance overhead would this cause enabling SSL on the key manager?
There is a performance hit that would not be seen at normal levels of usage. However, if you were a very high-volume queue manager dealing with a lot of traffic, you would probably want to look at using offloading that SSL encryption to a hardware card of some kind. But generally, there are no known issues that are visible. It's negligible when you're in a normal capacity environment.
There's a follow-up question to that. Is it possible to set the parameters, or is it every time that the message goes through any of the queue managers, it checks for the validation of the SSL?
That check is done when the channel starts. So the channel will not go into running state until all of those checks have succeeded. So once that channel is up and running, any messages that travel across do not have to start that channel and do that negotiation again. It's only when that channel stops that it will have to be, when it starts again, that's when that negotiation will happen again. So the longer the channel is up, the less amount of negotiation time there is.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Jitendra Jethwa. Your line is open.
Hi. Good morning. My question is, what is the difference between GSK-7 CMD and GSK-7 CAPI CMD?
The GSK-7 CMD is the Java version of the command and requires you to set the Java environment. The GSK-7 CAPI command is the C version of the command. Virtually, the syntax is the same for both commands. So you can use either. So if you have trouble getting your Java command to work, you can just use the other. Sometimes I use both in order to get different output for error messages because sometimes they don't report exactly the same error. Sometimes the error isn't even valid on one where it may be on the other. So sometimes I use both for troubleshooting. But in general, it's easier to use the GSK-7 CAPI command because there's no other setup required related to the Java environment.
Okay, so I don't need to set up any environment variables for the CAPI command.
Right, other than your standard path.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Sampath Upal. Your line is open.
Hi. You know, I got a question on the self-sign certificate. We got around 100 Qmonitors in our environment, and, you know, we being the admins wanted to, you know, administer all the Qmonitors from our MK Explorer sitting on our desktop. So for that, we wanted to use self-signed certificate and create a key manager and add it to our key database on the client machine where the MK Explorer is running. So this is working, but, you know, how to implement across all 100 key managers? Because, you know, to create a .arm file for each of the key managers and add it to the, you know, key store on the desktop is going to be a lot of effort. So is there any way, you know, we can kind of, you know, push through all the key managers and make it work?
No, not through the Explorer. And, you know, there are ways to do it as opposed to creating a self-signed certificate for each server or just sort of copying them over. In other words, what I could think of is if you were to export your private key from a KDB to another KDB and at that time provide the label for the new KDB and all, so therefore you would create a new KDB for each and every queue manager that needs it based on the same self-signed certificate.
Okay, what you're saying is export the KDB and export the label for your different KDB file and then again you put it onto the new key manager KDB, right?
Right, so when you do the export, you also have the option of saying new label. So you can export it right to another KDB that another queue manager is using and give it the correct label for that queue manager, and then it's just a matter of what you're really doing is just moving the private key and certificate to another key store for use by another queue manager.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And we had no further questions.
Thank you, Jackie. And I am showing one question here coming in through the group chat, so I am going to announce this question verbally. The question is, since we have to install the GSK kit on MQ for HP, why are we using OpenSSL instead of GSK-7?
Okay. I think that the system may not be an HP nonstop tandem because GSKit is not installed on that platform. Can we clarify that it's that there are other HP UX systems where we use GSKit, but not on HP nonstop?
Thank you, Belinda. So we'll just give it maybe around 10 seconds to see if there are any follow-up to that question. And I do have another question coming in through the group chat. The question is, how is the .sth file encrypted? What is the key used for the encryption?
I actually don't have the details at the moment, so we may have to follow up with that online. But the stash file is encrypted and is used specifically to access the key store by the key manager, so it needs a password, so it's able to go in and get that stash file and use that information to access the encrypted key store. But as far as the question, how is it encrypted? I don't have that information at the moment, so we can take that offline if you'd like to email me directly. My email is on the first page of the presentation.
Great. Thank you, Belinda. And since I'm not showing any other questions in the group chat, we will conclude the presentation at this point in time.